everybody. Welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. Y'all, I'm here with the wonderful, amazing Grant Leslie.
Hello.
I'm so excited that we're going to get to sit and chat today. You probably, if you don't know Grant, you probably recognize Grant. Grant is a part of our worship team here at Sagemont. A little bit right now, more specifically students and college.
Correct.
But we get you on Sunday mornings sometimes. Easter. We got you Easter morning wonderfully. So good. And I know it's funny because I talk to some people and they're like, I know he's doing great things in students, but can we please have him more often? And then like but then the adults that are like student leaders, they're like, no, we like him just where he is.
Man, that's awesome.
You do a really, good job.
Thank you.
You're very, well, one, you're extremely talented, but it is, very evident from anybody that watches you that this is a heart thing and you are very called to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super glad you're here.
Me too.
And we are specifically, I really asked you to come to talk about worship and just for you to kind of share your heart behind that and just kind of what you're doing right now. But before we just jump into that, I was like, you've been at Sagemont, what, 4 years?
Actually, three? 2 years.
Two.
Just about 2 years.
Okay.
Yep.
This feels like forever. No, I'm just kidding.
Honestly, a little bit.
No, yeah. And so you've been on staff at Sagemont for a couple of years and started in like the comms department doing photos and video and all that, still leading worship some with that, and then moved over fully to worship. And so I hear people all the time, they're like, oh, that guy that leads. I'm like, yeah, that's Grant. And so people recognize you, appreciate you, but they don't know you. Some people, and you know, the masses of Sagemont Church. And so I'm so excited when people come on Table Talk and people get to know them. So it's so fun. So just share a little bit of your family, where'd you grow up, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I am, I was actually born in Houston and moved to San Antonio when I was like 3 or 4. And so I don't really remember Houston very much. But now living in Houston, I like to say I'm from Houston. But grew up in San Antonio. So I live, or I lived with my parents and we had, they eventually had three other children. So I'm the oldest of, of four. And so there's me, there's Claire, who's younger than me. And then we have Luke and Will, who are about 10, 11 years younger than me. So grew up with just kind of a wider range of ages in my family, but grew up in a family that was Christian. We went to church every Sunday, and then long story short, eventually, as I was growing up in San Antonio, found quickly that I loved music, loved just all things creative, and so my parents were awesome and just kind of helping me navigate those
things.
And went through sports and all the type of extracurricular stuff, but eventually landed on music being my thing. And so in high school, ended up starting to serve on my worship team. I played keyboard. I was like super nervous and introverted. And so I would like be in the back and play keys. But eventually my worship pastor kind of started to call me a little bit higher in seeing if I could sing and giving me an opportunity to lead a little bit. And so from there, ended up starting to lead worship and started to work at that church out of high school. And, and so that I was in San Antonio in the first few years of out of college, went to UT San Antonio.
Okay.
And then, ended up Lord just kind of guiding me to Houston to work for a church called The Harbor. And while right when I started at The Harbor, I also married my now wife, Ashley. And, we were at The Harbor for a few years and then moved over to Sagemont about 2 years ago. And so we're almost 5 years married and, have been here for a couple of years now. Had leading worship.
So fun.
Yep.
And I'm sure a lot of y'all are like, he's married? What? Yes. I'm sure you and Ashley both look very young.
Hey, we'll take it.
And, right. I know. Listen, I'm like, you'll appreciate it when you're 50.
Yeah.
Right. But my girls have gotten the blessing of knowing your wife, Ashley, through being a small group leader and camps and journeys and all those kinds of different things. Both of you have this spiritual maturity about you. And I don't know if you can speak to that or like why that is or how y'all at a young age are so spiritually mature.
Man, well, one, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a high honor. I would say a lot of it actually has to do with Ashley. She accepted Jesus when she was really young. If I'm correct, it's like 5 or 6.
Okay.
And she got it. Like she right at that moment, cool. she was aware that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And she, from that point on, started to spend like daily time with him, was very disciplined, just has a very like loyal personality, probably the most loyal person I know. And so she was devoted to Jesus from a young age. And so me, on the other hand, I'm a lot, my story is a lot different than hers. And so it took me a while to actually understand that Jesus is my Lord. I understood the Savior complex of, need. I was broken, needed Jesus to save me, but didn't really fully understand the, like, actually surrendering the entire part of my life to him and disciplined myself daily in time with him. And so when I met her, I was actually, long story short, I ended up working for a camp called Pine Cove for a couple years in college. And that's where I really started to understand what it looked like to be disciplined, and got to work for a couple summers and really learned like what a quiet time should look like, what prayer looks like. And so I was, I consider myself, when I met Ashley, almost a baby Christian in some ways, while she was this like spiritual giant, had spent years with Jesus. And so she is significantly more spiritually mature than me. But in being in relationship with her, I have been like daily sharpened by just the wisdom that God has imparted to her, and learned from just the ways that she spent time with him. And it's like, you can't, it's hard to spend time with a person like that and not just start to like do some of the things that they do, especially being married to that person.
Yeah.
And so her spending so much like quality time with Jesus has kind of forced me in a way to do that, and to see the, like, the reason why to do that. Yeah. And so, like, almost like finding a hidden treasure. And so I feel like over the past 5 years and a little bit more than that, and knowing her, has been like, well, definitely the sweetest time ever with Jesus. But I feel like I'm daily understanding, like, I'm becoming more humble, if that makes sense, and just recognizing like, oh, I don't deserve Jesus, and don't deserve Ashley. And in those ways, I think it's kind of helped me continuously like pursue maturity. And I think, like, maybe some more practical things is just being open to feedback, and just being open, or surrounding myself with, like, I get the privilege working with incredible, awesome people who point me to Jesus and who are wells of wisdom that I could either take for granted, or I could just have been, you know, soaking in. So I don't know if that answers that question.
No, I love that. And y'all, if I feel like I say this a lot to everybody, if you have students in 6th through 12th grade, they need to be a part of Sagemont students.
Yeah.
Because one, they're led in worship by Grant and team and all the people. And Grant, you do such a good job of, it's student led too. You do a really good job of pouring into the students and working with them and encouraging them, not just on singing or playing, but leading worship and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And then also there's opportunity, if you have daughters, for them to be in somebody's small group, like an Ashley. And one thing one of my girls says is like, Ashley doesn't play. Like, Ashley will straight up tell you, like, why are you doing that? And as a parent, you love that somebody else is speaking truth into your kid. Not just let's play or let's hang out or who's that, you know, that kind of like spiritual truth into our kids. And so I highly encourage you. Sagemont Students is filled with amazing people that are pointing our students to Jesus. And it's just fabulous. And y'all both do a great job. Grant I got to hang out with Grant for a whole week last year. We went to Africa on the sports camp trip. And it was so fun. And I was looking back through videos just the other day, because we're getting ready to go again in July. And I found the video of the race. So they did America versus Kenya sprint. A sprint, like a, what, four by, I don't know, relay. That's what it's called. And Grant was one of the, were you the first?
I think so.
I think maybe you were the first one. Man, this guy shot out like he was 18. And then his hamstring said, excuse me, sir. You are not that. And then you were just like, and we're just going to kind of jog to the end. It was so fun, though. That whole trip was just super awesome and such a great opportunity to get to go and serve across the world. So I was so glad you got to come and do that. It was really, really sweet. One of the things that I was thinking about with this is your heart for worship. Led one by, hey, I kind of like this. Hey, there's a talent there. And I love that you had, you said you had somebody helping guide and point and all of that, which I love. Now you're getting an opportunity to do that back. But I really wanted us to talk, one, first of all, just why is worship important? Mm, yeah. And I love that Pastor Levi actually preached on this a little bit not too long ago. But I think there are people, we know there are for sure, not just here at Sagemont, but around all over the place, that say, I go to church for the teaching and the preaching. I'll come in when the music's done. And it's music. And I want you to kind of talk to why, where did God ever call us to worship? Why is that something that's beneficial to us or something we should say, no, this is important?
Yeah, that's a great question. I could honestly spend hours on answering that. But I think it first starts with an like a right understanding of what worship is, which I've come to understand worship being so much more than just music. Like worship is, I've come to define it as everything else in your life, like orbiting or like basically revolving around what's most important to you. And like, certainly that can be God, but it also certainly can be anything else in your life. And that could be anything from money to relationships to substances, whatever it may be. We can end up worshiping that thing or in like biblical terms, idolizing those things. And basically those things can take the throne of our heart. Whereas we, in today's culture and in church, we have what's called worshiping through music. And that's where we just spend time through like about 20, 25 minutes where we get to revolve our life around God through singing what should be scripture, what should be scripturally sound songs. And honestly, in an overly simplistic sense, like we're writing scripture on our hearts in those moments. Like music is one of those things statistically that helps us like retain information.
Absolutely.
And so for me, and I know a lot of people the same way, like to be able to memorize something, I would have to put it to a song and it helps tremendously. Or a lot of people will have like a song stuck in their head throughout their week. And it's because it's music is created, was, I believe, created by the Lord to be able to help us remember things.
Absolutely.
And so we see through all throughout scripture, there isn't really ever a time where they'd like very clearly define what worship should look like or worship through music, I should say. And, but there used to be, do see a lot of times where it's like, praise the Lord with an instrument or praise the Lord with a harp or, and one of my favorite verses, I'm actually gonna read it from Colossians 3. This is my favorite verse to talk about worship, but, it says, let me see if I can get to it. And we've actually been going through Colossians as a church. So this is great. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And this is why I love to define worship in verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so like we see here, obviously, Paul is talking about singing psalms and spiritual songs, hymns. And so obviously it's important for some reason.
Right.
And I believe that when we gather to do that, so two things, I think. One thing is just we get to do it corporately in a sense of we get to sing scripture over ourselves, over each other, ultimately to the Lord, like reminding him of his promises and the covenant he's made with followers of him. But it also should be, we should recognize that time as an overflow of the rest of our week. Like we should be coming to service to do corporately what we've been doing every other day of the week. And so it's easy, even for myself, to show up on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, and to just like do for the first time all week what I should have been doing every day. And obviously it's not just singing. It needs to look like reading scripture, praying, spending time with Jesus, like spending time with community, all the disciplines that we're called to do. And so I think it's really easy to compartmentalize that time to just this thing that is more abstract and it's just, oh, it's just a concert. It's whatever, like, but the teaching is what I'm coming for. And it's easy to forget about like the whole reason we're doing that is to help remember scripture. And so, but that's where the last thing I'll say, I guess, is where the responsibility should fall on the worship team, the worship ministry, and making sure that what we're singing is scripture. And so that's a whole nother dimension of worship. And I believe our ministry, it does a great job of that. But that's just something we need to be very sensitive to, because if we're just singing songs that are, you know, not very scripturally sound or not scripture at all, then we've basically foregone what we should be doing in general. So, yeah.
I love that because, and I know Bill will, he corrects me on this a lot, is when I say, well, what songs are we doing for worship? And he's like, the whole thing is worship. That's just one piece. And so I love that you say worship through music, because inside of a whole worship service, there's worship through music, there's worship through prayer, there's worship through the study of his word. And somehow we've gotten in this place of the worship through music is hit or is I can take it or leave it.
Yep.
But no one would ever say, well, I can take or leave the teaching or the prayer piece. And it's one of those go, no, this is a complete worship service for our whole, all of us, heart, mind, soul, all of us to hit all of those things.
Yes.
And that worship, and y'all, I believe there is a very specific reason that worship through song is usually first.
Yes.
It gives us a moment to focus on Him, to repent of things we need to repent of, so that we can come before Him.
That's good.
It does kind of go, okay, let the things of this world fall away. Mm-hmm. Let me focus. Let me be reminded of who you are and who I am, how in need I am of you. And then I love in our services right now, we have time to pray. Mm-hmm. Come down to the altar, have someone pray with you, pray on your own, stay where you are and pray. And then we've given everyone this opportunity to get to a place where we're ready to receive His word.
Yes, love that.
And it's, man, if you're missing any of those pieces, if you're coming in late for a million different reasons, we get it. If you're during prayer time going, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or if you're leaving early, man, y'all, this isn't us going, we want you to stay for the show. This is not a show.
Right, exactly.
This is worship. And we're not doing this because Bill and Grant and them came up with a good idea.
Right.
This is scripturally what we as believers should be getting to do corporately all together.
Yeah, I love that.
And I just think that we have almost become flippant.
Yep.
Take it for granted. It's, you know, we and all struggle with that.
The language of calling all of it worship, I think, really helps mentally recognize that. I mean, we spend a lot of very intentional time as a worship team looking at what Pastor Levi is going to be talking about and crafting the songs and the scripture that we're going to be singing and reading around that. Mm-hmm. And so that it is a lot more, it should all be a cohesive thought. And it's easy to kind of separate the two as, oh, there'll be these songs that we sing, and then Pastor Levi is going to talk about this. And then, you know, maybe I don't know if it'll fit or not, but it's helpful to know that like all of that is really intentional. Mm-hmm. And it's really soaked in prayer and whatever, like especially this series Monsters Within we're going through right now. Like this past Sunday, we spent a lot of time looking at, okay, anger. What does the Bible say about anger? What is Pastor Levi going to be hitting on? What are songs that maybe could be addressed, the antithesis, whatever you say that word, of anger, right? Of like, what could we look like to be grateful or maybe just joyful in the Lord or whatever, all those things. Like, it's very intentional in what we do. So,
yeah. And then that kind of leads me into when you start hearing about it's planned, it's purposeful, it's Well, then some people go to see it's a performance.
Mm.
They're trying to put all these things together to get this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would all go, no, we're trying to make it purposeful and seamless and thought through so that you aren't distracted. People, you know, when we're in there, we're not distracted by the, oh, this thing, what was that? And now we are very weak people and we can get distracted real quick.
Absolutely.
And in those moments when God's trying to speak to us, distraction is one of the things the enemy loves to use to get us out of where the Lord was taking us.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk a little bit about just when people say it's a performance, it's a show.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Does it make you mad?
Well, so actually, I've learned to hear them out in that. Well, I only know my posture of heart, and there's countless other worship leaders out there, and honestly, and unfortunately, a lot of them, it is a performance for them,
and that's why people are at the plate. They're like, "Well, look at this guy, and look at this girl," and you're like, "You are correct."
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so, I think, and where I will. What I will say to that is it all boils down to both those on the stage and both in the receiving end, it all boils down to heart posture.
Yes.
And so we can have all of the lights and all of the full band, everything, but our heart posture could be all about us. Or we could just be in a living room, not even have any instruments, and we're just reading scripture out loud, and that heart posture could still be all about us. Mm-hmm. Like it all depends on where we're coming from, recognizing humbly that we don't deserve honored to be there. We've been giving these gifts to glorify God with. And I believe the worship team that we have, I've gotten to spend a lot of time, some more than others, and I believe that their hearts are all in the right place, mm-hmm. and they love to use their gifts for the Lord, and have served in so many different capacities all around the church, a lot of ways that people don't even realize, yeah. and they're just awesome people. But we do happen to have what, like, for those who might be coming in, maybe for the first time, or could easily compare to other churches, like it, I mean, we do have the lights, we have mm-hmm. the smoke, we have all the things, and it could very easily look like a concert. And so it also lands on us, and it's our responsibility to make sure we are consistently educating and helping people understand that it isn't about us, mm-hmm. and really leading in a way that does just point to Christ in every moment, yeah. Which is a hard thing to do when you have all those things. Like you almost mm-hmm. have to overcompensate in a way. But at the end of the day, like, we are also human beings. And so there will come times where maybe it is like a little bit of a heart posture of about me, where we have to repent and we have to sure. own up. And we always are going to have to go through that cycle. And so I think, like, I'm learning to, more as I grow older and older, I'm learning to welcome those comments mm-hmm. and just hear where they're coming from, because sometimes often it's coming from a place of like, maybe there's a certain thing that maybe we do need to work on, yeah. and then sometimes it's just maybe being able to educate in a way that's like, oh, I can actually understand where you're coming from, but let me explain why we're doing that. Mm-hmm. And so again, all boils down to intention. Like, we're, a lot of what we do, pretty much all of it, has a lot of scriptural intention to it, a lot of reasoning, a lot of collaboration, and also we're human. So it's like, yeah. we're learning, and the Bible is not super clear again on worshiping through music. And so we're like, as just a Christian culture, we're continuously learning, like, what, as we get to evolve with the culture, mm-hmm. how do we be in the world but not of it? And so that's just going to be a constant tension that we're working with.
Absolutely. So, I would say, you know, one of Sagemont's core beliefs is that God's called us to be relevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think probably music over the years is one of those things
yeah.
that probably has gotten the most pushback.
Yeah.
And also probably has made the most gains
mm-hmm.
Is worship teams through the years. And I know I was talking to Misty just yesterday about this, about having to purposely be relevant and having to think, okay, I don't want to alienate.
Yeah.
But I also want to make sure it's welcoming.
Yeah.
And so it needs to be a little of this and a little of that. And mm-hmm. how do we stay up to date on what is going on? Yeah. And then how do we educate and encourage and still provide worship the way people used to, that in their mind think this is what we used to do.
Yes.
And in a church that is generationally as spread as Sagemont is, that is constantly something y'all are having to think
yes.
through.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I'd probably ask Sagemont, give them grace.
Mm.
They're not purposely ignoring anybody,
right.
young, old, middle, whatever. I know y'all's team.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all's heart is to bring everyone into worship.
Right.
And I know y'all sit and discuss,
yeah.
how do we do this so that everyone...
Right.
And how do we do this knowing we got to hit this group today
right.
and next week we're going to hit the, I mean, and having to make those decisions.
Yes.
That's a whole deal. That relevant thing, I think, falls
yes.
in worship a lot.
And I think too, as followers of Christ, we have to be willing to hold the context loosely, but hold the content firmly and just
that.
Recognize that, like, we could sing just older songs and content is still great, but we have to also recognize that context is important. And for those who might be brand new believer or don't know Jesus, who are coming in and who just are, they live in a different context. Like, how can we still give the same content, but in a new contextual way?
Mm-hmm.
And you find those who are very mature in their faith to be a lot more loose in the context and willing to break outside of their complacency. We just have to be people who are willing to push past that. And, but also, yeah, not let the content go back and forth. Like,
yeah.
we need to make sure we're scripturally sound. And so I think there's a tension there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is, like you've already said, your heart walking into worship, if it's, I'm coming in here and it better be the way I want it so
right.
that I get the feelings that I usually have and that
yep.
I want.
Yep.
Then your whole heart of walking into worship is backwards.
Yep.
It's walking in going, I'm here to worship
mm-hmm.
and I'm here to do whatever I can do for the Lord so somebody else comes
yes.
to know him. And if that means I'm going to sing a song that I wouldn't normally choose, mm-hmm. but somebody else in the room is going to meet Jesus for the first time,
yeah.
then I'm good with that.
Yes, that's really good. And it's like opening up the Bible and or for your daily reading. And if you go in with a heart posture of, I better get what I want, mm-hmm. you know, or what I got yesterday. God doesn't work like that. You know, he's going to give you what you need that morning. And so, I mean, you just have to come in with a humble posture you're going to hear scripture. And so whatever you need to hear, you're going to hear. So,
yeah. When I was in college, when I was at A&M, Breakaway mm-hmm. was huge. It's even bigger now than when I was there. But Greg Mott was still the Breakaway teacher at A&M. He's the pastor at Houston's First now. Mm-hmm. But you can tell how Breakaway wasn't as big as it is now, because I got to have like lunch with Greg as a freshman in college. He was so gracious. Mm-hmm. And because I just had questions.
Yeah.
And I had grown up in a Christian home and went to college my freshman year and kind of went, I go to Breakaway on Tuesday night. It feels great.
Yeah.
But by Thursday, it doesn't feel great anymore. Mm-hmm. And I remember him looking at me going, if you live your Christian life based on your feelings, you are going to continuously be let down, and you are going to continuously be on a crazy roller coaster of worship night to worship night to worship night to worship night. And I've always thought about that, because it is when we worship, we do have, I was telling you before we hit record, we did staff meeting a couple of months ago, and y'all brought back my old school, 90s, maybe early 2000s, songs we haven't done in a while. And I could not keep it together because they are songs from a time when, they were so mean. I mean, I can remember what I was going through when I was worshiping those songs. So they do, worship songs do make us feel in the best of ways.
Right.
But that's not all.
Right.
That can't be the end.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's where people get caught up on, it didn't make me feel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard.
That's good.
That's hard. So I did want to mention, you and Callista led worship for us at Sunrise Service on Easter morning. If you've never gotten to go to Sunrise Service, go. It's so fun.
Yes.
It's so good. We did not see the sun this Sunday. It was very cloudy.
Yeah.
But it is so cool to be outside, see 1,000 people all over the place, just spread out everywhere. I know we had gotten there and we were kind of sitting close to the lake, the pond. And at one point the police officer was standing in front of us. He goes, turn around. And I was like, what? He goes, just turn around. And I mean, there were people everywhere.
Wow.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But y'all did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Leading worship. But on Good Friday, y'all released a new song.
We did.
And it's so funny because I've said that to a few people and they're like, what? They did. I was like, yes, they're very humble. And I was like, also follow them on Instagram and you learn all kinds of good things.
Yeah.
But y'all released a song and driving in Easter morning, I just had it on repeat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Probably 6 times, you know, just over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all sang it Easter morning.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little, and that's not the only song you wrote. I was with a group of people yesterday and they were like, didn't he write that Therefore We Pray thing? And I was like, yes, we sing that song too. Uh-huh. And I think so often because in worship, sometimes you're like, we don't know this song. We don't know this song. And you just assume we don't know this song.
Sure.
We don't realize it. No, like, this is Sagemont people spent time and energy and effort writing this. So talk a little bit about your desire for writing and not just singing, but writing worship music.
Man. So a few of us, Callista Moncada, Candace Rogers, Chris Delaney, and Holly Williams, we meet often, usually on Thursdays to write together for our church, or just we sometimes will create boundaries on maybe just the Sagemont U or just students or just with certain demographics in mind. And we love to just open up scripture and pray and just see like what does God have for us? I think to take a step back, I think there's something really important about being able to look at where your church is, what God is doing in the midst of your community, and like what's the scripture that we need to be writing on our hearts right now? Mm. What are some of the themes that we need to be tackling right now? And sometimes like we can ultimately all the songs that we sing to overgeneralized extent are songs that were written for other churches or other contexts.
Truth.
And so but it doesn't mean that they're not applicable for us.
Mm-hmm.
We were just thinking, man, it would be really cool to think about about Sagemont as we get to write this, and maybe some of the language you're using. So like you mentioned Endless Communion, mm-hmm. which is a song that he loves us, he hears us, therefore we pray. Wes came to Candace and I and Chris and asked, hey, would y'all think about, so we have this prayer vision we're going to mm-hmm. cast for our church. Would you maybe consider writing a song that would help us remember that vision? And so we got to sit with that direction in mind and look at scripture. What does scripture say about that? All that. And so wrote from Psalm 116 and thought about verse 1 and 2 and wrote from that. Mm-hmm. But I would consider myself like more of a novice when it comes to songwriting. I'm growing in that area. Shout out to Candace, who I believe is like absolutely anointed by the Lord in writing.
Yes.
But she, and then all the rest of them are also really gifted and they have their own strengths and those things. But so yeah, we wrote Unexpected King was written by me, Calista, and Candace. Okay. And we wrote with more than a year ago with Easter in mind. And the thought of, we kind of honed in on the fact that when Jesus came to earth, he chose to come humbly in the form of a baby. And he could have, you know, rode in on lightning and mm-hmm. and overthrown every government and became the king. And he would have deserved to do that. But he instead unexpectedly came in a form of a baby, humbly, gentle, washed his disciples' feet, just completely nothing that we would expect. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up going to a cross, which was completely unexpected, and dying, which to think about God dying was just mm-hmm. nothing that, I mean, his disciples were very confused. And, but then he rose from the grave, like the ultimate unexpected thing that he could have done, and proving that he was God, proving everything that he spoke leading up to that point. And so going into that Easter, we wrote with that in mind and wanted to think about, because that Easter we were focusing on that concept of like the crown of thorns being turned around on its mm-hmm. head and recognizing it's actually a royal crown that Jesus wears now in heaven. And so that was written then. And so we finally released it on Good Friday. And
it's a great song.
Yeah, thank you.
So, okay. The Unexpected King, mm-hmm. you can find that wherever you listen to music.
Correct.
Right? Just search that title if you have to put Grant's name in it. Endless Communion, is it available out there?
So it will be April 26th.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So it is going to be on.
Because I keep saying, I'm like, why can I not find that song?
It'll be on an album that I'm releasing May 3rd called Every Spring. So
I love that. Great. Yeah. Yo, I didn't know he's releasing an album. That's awesome.
Thank you.
How many songs are on it?
11 songs.
So. Oh, y'all, we're in for a treat. When? May what?
May 3rd.
May 3rd.
Friday, May 3rd.
Again, this is how humble Grant Leslie is. I was like, hey, come on Table Talk. Let's talk about worship. Never said, perfect timing. I have an album. God knew.
Yeah, he did.
God knew. That's great, Grant.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
That is so fun. So both of those songs will be on that?
Yes. Endless Communion, awesome. Unexpected King. Students in college would know these, but there's a song called Good Portion, written from the story of Mary and Martha, and then a song called Better Than Life that's a little bit more fun that we've been doing in students recently.
Fun.
But yeah, so
that's so great. Yeah. I will tell you, so Meredith, my twins, Meredith and Madison, Meredith knows Ashley better. Madison is like your biggest fan. Like, I think whenever, what is it, Spotify or somebody says list of whatever, Madison's Grant Leslie.
Man, that's an honor.
It was so funny. Goodness. Yeah, I think she showed Ashley and Ashley was like, don't show Grant that. Don't show Grant that. But I think students like the music you're putting out. Mm. It's a really cool thing to have Christian scripture music in our kids' ears is a huge blessing. So thank you for taking the time and energy and effort to do that. I also think it's so cool that when you're talking about Unexpected King, you're like, yeah, we started working on that a year ago.
Yeah. That was crazy.
We all have to remember it takes time.
It sure does.
To do all of those things.
Yeah.
And so good for it. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. That's great. So Unexpected King, you can go find now. Like I said, I listened to it on repeat. It's a beautiful song. And then the others are coming.
Yeah. I think by the time this is released, the second single, All For You, will be out anywhere. But then, I think when this is out very soon, we'll have LNO coming up, and then we'll have Endless Communion on the horizon. So.
All the things. Yep. So fun. If you listen, go follow Grant on Instagram, and then you'll get all the release dates when they come out so you don't miss anything. And you brought up L&O.
Yeah.
So excited. Our L&O Ladies Night Out coming up on Monday, April 22nd is a worship night.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very special.
Yeah.
Because your little sister Claire is coming to lead worship for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to be on the stage with her, which we're super excited about.
Me too.
But it's, I mean, a whole band, mm-hmm. everybody's coming, and she's so excited to come and get to lead worship. And I love it because she is excited to come and lead Sagemont in worship. She's not excited to come perform for Sagemont.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, we've talked about, very cool distinction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, are you so excited?
I'm very excited.
Do y'all
excited.
Get to lead worship together very often?
So, recently, not as much. When we started, when she started to sing a little bit and I was leading at my church, I would bring her into our student ministry and lead with me often. And so, I got to see and lead with her a lot earlier on. But now, she's doing big things. She's just got signed to Capitol Music. And,
wow.
She is one of the most humble people, but so gifted, crazy. She can sing like an angel and write beautifully, all these things, so gifted. But ever so often, she actually came to Winter Retreat this past December and got to lead with me. I got to pull a Big Brother phone call and bring her down. But
and they loved it. They loved having her there.
And she's so personable too. She led, and then also off stage would just step off and hang out with the girls, and just she's just really awesome. And so not as much as we used to, but I'm excited to
it's
get
gonna
to
be really
again.
Good.
Yeah,
y'all, you can get your Ladies Night Out ticket now. Mm-hmm. We'll have dinner together. We'll go in. We also are going to have a special time before worship at Ladies Night Out with Ben Niskavitz.
Mm.
Our new worship pastor is going to come. We're going to interview
Mission.
What did I say?
You said worship.
Oh, no, Bill's still here. My bad.
Yeah.
Bill, no. Missions. Sorry, Bill. And Ben. Ben Niskavitz, our new missions pastor that just started, and he's going to come. We're going to interview him a little bit, but he's also going to take time to help teach us how to share the gospel.
Mm.
And it's going to be really fun and really good. So you'll get to meet him, and then we'll have our night of worship with Claire and Grant and all the people they bring. So grab your ticket. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a really sweet night. And hopefully, if you stuck with us through Table Talk and you heard some of this stuff, if you are someone that struggles with, oh, there's not a speaker.
Mm.
Oh, I'm not coming. I come when there's a really good speaker.
Mm.
Man, I challenge you to do this thing for the Lord and with the Lord, and really ask him to, hey, I'm gonna step out and do the thing that maybe isn't what I normally would do. And y'all, the Lord will show up.
Yeah,
he will. And
absolutely.
So highly encourage you, even if you're like, oh, I usually just like the speaker, come for a night of worship.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really sweet time. So listen, when you see Grant, tell him thank you. One, he does so much that we don't all see.
Mm.
And also tell him thank you because, man, when you lead us in worship, it's beautiful.
Man, thank you. All glory to God.
Yeah.
Appreciate
and this is why we love Grant, because y'all, this is his heart. Mm. You do this for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I love that. That is why I think the Lord continues to open doors for you, because he does know your heart.
Mm.
And so you're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
Super
thank
proud
you,
of
Betsy.
You. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
With
thank
this.
You for having
and
me.
And let me say this. If you are someone that's like, you know, I used to sing or I used to worship and maybe you got hurt in all of that, Grant would love to talk with you.
Yes.
If you're someone that's like, you know, I kind of think I'm supposed to do this thing, but I don't know what to, Grant would love to talk with you.
Yes.
He is here. He would love to meet up with you and just talk with you about any of that kind
of
stuff. Of I know that is true, that he would love to do that. Or if you have a kid that's like, they're super talented and they're so nervous and they won't sing, call Grant.
Please.
He does a really, really good job just
thank
encouraging
you.
That. So y'all reach out to Grant. Tell him thank you. Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
Have a great rest of your day or evening. We will see you next time on Table Talk.